It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A for effort. Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Chris Sims can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. It is time to get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. The Dolphins have started training camp today in Miami Gardens. First practice already in the books. The Dolphins are starting things earlier. That is the one thing that has been noticeable. Mike McDaniel, he spoke today like around 8 o'clock. Threw that thing on the Bluetooth on the way down here. I was like, all right. And, man, it's a long ride. Long ride with that guy blaring through my speakers. I was like, all right. We'll hear a little bit more from him here in just a second on Minka Fitzpatrick and whatnot. But, we also found out Darren Waller is starting on the physically unable to perform list, but McDaniel says that is a standard for players coming out of retirement. Liam Eichenberg is apparently the big injury right now, that Liam Eichenberg is dealing with something that is going to last weeks, maybe even into the regular season, according to Mike McDaniel, but it is unknown how long he'll be out.
Man, you're just a bevy of bad news. Number
Sorry.
One, the tight end that we're relying on to replace Jonnu Smith is coming out of retirement. Therefore, he is unable to perform. And then your hopefully eighth string offensive lineman is also physically unable to perform.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And Ifeatu Melifonwu, their new safety, he is also not ready to go.
Uninjured. What is it? Uninjured.
Yeah.
Player.
More good news. Just kidding.
Woo.
Barry Jackson says that a helicopter took Miami Dolphins offensive lineman Byron Matos to a local hospital, but he's in stable condition, so some injury happened during practice. I guess he says the team is not saying his injury or illness. And cornerback, former Miami Hurricane, new Miami Dolphin Artie Burns, left team headquarters on crutches. And that was per multiple photographers that were there. So a lot of boots on the ground reporters who were there getting to take pictures and video, they saw him leave. So there you go. Camp is here. Camp has arrived, everybody. It is going. Do you see video, though, of Minka Fitzpatrick? He's leading the DB group at practice. Because there was a lot of talk, hey, is he happy to be here? Is he cool? Like, Minka Fitzpatrick left on such weird terms. Like, this guy was supposed to be, you know, one of the culture setters for a Dolphins team that, yes, was going in the toilet and they were going to tank. And Minka Fitzpatrick was not about that. And he was not happy with the coaching staff, but was a different coaching staff. I mean, it was Brian Flores. It was Brian Flores' defense. And now you have a new head coach. You have a new defensive coordinator in Anthony Weaver, who a lot of players seem to really love. And even I was just listening to Tua during the break. Tua was talking about, like, I can't really even put into words why you want to follow Minka Fitzpatrick. There's just something about him. Like, you just want to follow Minka Fitzpatrick. So you do hope, when the Dolphins talk about who are going to be these culture setters and all that stuff, look, nobody really wants to hear that right now. Just go out and win football games. You guys tried all this stuff last year. It didn't work out. But Minka Fitzpatrick, this is a guy with credentials. And I think that while a lot of Dolphin fans had no good feelings about him because of the way he left, you can't deny how good the guy has been. He's been tremendous. He's an all-pro. Is there still anything left? You know, I think so. It doesn't seem like, why would a guy at that age, all of a sudden, he's just cooked? There seemed to be a bit of a role that he wasn't able to gauge last year that he didn't love with Pittsburgh. So hopefully the Dolphins put him in a zone where he plays more comfortably and gets back a little bit more to where he was. But Mike McDaniel, we'll hear a little bit on this whole trade, because he was asked about the idea, okay, what does it mean to lose Ramsey and what does it mean to gain Minkah Fitzpatrick? So here's what Mike McDaniel had to talk about the Pittsburgh Dolphins trade for the first time.
Having Minkah and deleting Jalen impact what you...
Why you go headline on me, huh?
No.
Let's go. Let's go.
How does it impact what you have in the secondary?
I'm not giving you anything. So here's the thing with human beings. Each and every one, like fingerprints, are unique. So you change any sort of combination and it's going to be different. I think Jalen Ramsey's a Steeler. I like to talk about Dolphins. Minkah Fitzpatrick's a Dolphin. I'm super pumped about his specific skill set and what motivates him and how he can affect his teammates. Everything, right, wrong, or indifferent, is pretty consistent with me. My devotion to do the best thing for the team will never change. We are trying to win football games, and each and every day we are trying to earn the right to be in that win column. And we have a lot of lunch pail, day by day, hour by hour, meeting by meeting, practice by practice, to have our say in the results. But until then, we are busy at work.
Listen, I'm not surprised. He has not wanted to get into the Jalen Ramsey thing at all. I would like to know. I wonder when Jalen Ramsey, if he's going to talk about it at all. I doubt it. He's not like the most forthcoming dude in the media either. But what in the hell happened that it got to a breaking point? Now maybe it ends up for the better. You know, Mike McDaniel was making the point on the DBs today, like, we're always going to know who the guys we trust are more than the people who have seen it. And okay, sure. You're obviously going to have faith in the guys that you put out there. It doesn't make any it doesn't mean that they're going to work out, even if you hope to go in those things with a great deal of faith. I'm sure you're going to go into those guys and whoever you think is going to win those things. And look, it'll go a long way if a guy you took as your first pick, which was a second rounder, but a couple of years ago in Cam Smith, it'll go a long way if that guy could actually produce for you. Crazy concept. Like, if he comes out there, Dan, and he's able to be like, I don't know, the talented player that you had hoped him to be, and not a guy who's, yeah, a starter.
Just what you expect from a second rounder.
I mean, are we not all thinking Jonah Savianaya is not going to be, you put him right in there as a starter?
Day one.
I would think year three of taking a second year. I mean, Xavien Howard was a second round pick. I would think year three, you'd think to yourself, yeah, hopefully this guy. Now, some guys, you just blow the pick, and it happens. Look at Noah Igbinoghene. It just didn't work out, especially now it got maybe better and he needed more time because he was very, very young. But I just hope that if he is able to start and they could trust him, which I don't know if the coach will, but if he is, like, it would go a long way because you'd be like, all right, that's not as many holes to fill here. But it certainly stands out to everybody that, man, oh, all right, we have to go about this with this type of mentality on it. But now Minkah Fitzpatrick is here. Videos of him at practice. I don't know if he's going to speak to the media today. He was, I guess, scheduled to do it yesterday and didn't. But we'll keep posted if he has. Tua has spoken to the media. We'll bring in some Tua coming on here a little bit later. But this was what Mike McDaniel had to say about Minkah Fitzpatrick and him wanting to be here. Here's what McDaniel had to say on his new safety.
As you enter in to negotiations of any sort of trade, you try to identify first and foremost that the player receiving wants to play football for you. So whatever that means, we are excited I'm elated to have to add Minkah to the team, because it's an opportunity to have a player that I've been coaching off of and plays the position the way that we here want to play the position, that he gets to actually play the position. It's a real good fit based on his skill set, both in athletically and what he's able to do with his transitions in the open field, and then elite ball skills,
which they certainly need. Last year, those safeties last year gave you nothing.
Zero.
0.0. They injured more Dolphins than made actual plays of impact. Jordan Poyer, more focused probably on doing ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers. I remember watching him this year. You want to know how annoying Jordan Poyer is? All right. Forget the fact that we all thought that he was a mole with the Buffalo Bills and that he injured Jalen Phillips after Jalen Phillips beat science. But then, like, this guy goes on NFL Network and he has a bunch of jerseys behind him, but then is like, he has this shirt that's just hanging there and he goes, oh, that thing? That's my official shirt from going on an ayahuasca retreat with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, that's with your jersey collection? Getting high as a kite in the rainforest and covering yourself in creek mud? Like, look, no judgment. Go do what you want to do. But, like, I'm sorry. You going on a spirit quest and having that up on the Wall of Fame is a little crazy to me, Dan. It's a little nuts.
Yeah.
That's who you had playing safety last year. Plus, he might have been cooked.
Yeah, didn't after the season, he even kind of said, not that he regretted playing with the Dolphins, but kind of like, I don't know if that was really the best idea for me to play with the Dolphins. Like, oh, that's what we needed.
Yeah, he was basically like, you know, you heard from him, and I believe Mrs. Poyer was active on Twitter saying that it was a culture and that everything kind of unraveled and that if not, everybody's pulling the same, all the stuff that we've heard. It's not like we needed a newsflash. The Dolphins had a culture problem. Yeah. He also stunk.
Yeah,
but he also stunk.
His highlight of the season was when his soft cast got caught in someone else's face mask, and he got called for a 15-yard face mask, and he kind of tried to argue that it wasn't a face mask,
right?
But his hand was still stuck to the guy's face mask.
Like he literally got caught with the hand in the cookie jar. Just like,
they had to take the helmet off. And then what, Javon Holland had that the first play of the year, the punch out in the end zone, and then that was basically it from the safety position.
That was it.
And literally zero interceptions.
Crazy.
In 17 games.
So now you got like the guy who has been probably like most notorious in this league as a safety of making plays on the football. And I think is, yeah, really about the leadership. Now, I guess the one thing that would give you pause on it is, look, if we're going to talk organizations, the Steelers typically nail getting out on a guy early. They're usually right about that. The Dolphins have been on the ass of that before with Mike Wallace. But maybe this was just a clash of styles, and it just wasn't working out for him, and you're hopeful that just at 28 years old, he's still got a lot of good football left. Here's the last piece from Mike McDaniel on Minkah, and this was him saying, about his leadership and, tries to put to bed any concerns about Minkah wanting to be a Miami Dolphin.
Leadership, you know, it was something that, National Football League's hard, especially when you're a guy like Minkah that puts everything into it. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that go on when you're all in with a team and then your team changes. That being said, you're a football first guy that wants to be around teammates that care about football, and you're driven to win and write your own story. It was very confident that this would be a place that he would fit right in. Know a lot of Bama guys, know a lot of guys in the NFL, so had a lot of foresight into what he was coming back to, and he couldn't get in the 29 jersey fast enough. So,
all right, there you go. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick, according to Omar Kelly, is not speaking today, but he will, according to Omar, speak sometime later this week, according to what he's heard from media relations. So, still no word yet from him, but that is that with Minkah Fitzpatrick. he's going to be good to go. As he, we saw some videos of him getting going. Marlins will be back at it today, by the way. 12-10 is your first pitch there. Sandy is on the hill. If the Fish can take two out of three here, get to like, what are they? They would be 5-under, and then you're going into Milwaukee. That'd be, you come out of the break, you win both series, one against a very good Padres team. And the Marlins have been, I know that the Brewers are killing it right now, but Marlins are really good on the road. Really good on the road. And this is a critical one today. And also and not just because of that, I'm trying to put the Sandy trade talks out of my mind right now because I just want to see, like, can this guy get right? Can this guy get back to who he was a little bit? I don't want Sandy to get traded. I think that Sandy, if this team's going to go anywhere, like, they're going to need him. And I also think that there's value in having him with Yuri Perez. I think like that's his mentor. That's his guy. You made it, everybody. Training camp has arrived. Happy training camp report day. Happy training camp first workout day for those who celebrate. Miami Dolphins getting going today at Miami Gardens. The one thing that we are keeping an eye on, offensive lineman Byron Matos was hurt at the end of today's practice, and he was airlifted to a medical facility. The team says that he's in stable condition, but obviously scary because the Dolphins do have that like little Baptist health thing, like right there on the facility. So you obviously that's not a great sign. So I'm hoping that everything is okay with Byron and that everything's going to be good there. Artie Burns also left practice today on crutches. Dolphins cornerback, former Miami Hurricane. So he left on crutches after getting injured in practice. Zach Sealer did participate in drills today, team drills. It was a day that started inside because of the lightning. Then they moved outside. They have been practicing. They're obviously practicing a lot earlier than we're used to. And Tua spoke today. We'll bring you some Tua coming on later on in the show and get into that as well. But let us get to our Hard Rock Bet of the Night. And the reason I want to get into it is because, well, the game that I want to bet on is starting in about 30 minutes, Dan. So I need to start perusing the Marlins props early. And our Hard Rock Bet of the Night, although today it's the day, sponsored by Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida and the place to bet on your teams today and every day. Hard Rock Bet has the props, parlays, and live play-by-play betting, and the no-regret first bet up to $100. If your first bet doesn't win, you get your money back to try again. Hard Rock Bet is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. You must be 21 and physically present in Florida to play. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. And I didn't stop and pause because I am concerned about my gambling. I'm completely fine with my gambling. And I've been, I know every addicted gambler says this, which is I was really close on my last parlay. But we really were. And not the Vlad one. I mean, he torpedoed us. I don't even know if anybody else covered, to be honest with you, because I didn't look. We lost on the first game. So I don't even know if Becker's covered last night. I should probably check before I'm hosing down Vlad, because maybe he was close too. Becker's yesterday. Nope, she didn't cover either.
Good, nice.
She didn't cover either. She was like 60 and a half. She had a double-double. And then what did Asia Wilson? Asia covered. Nah, that's what the MVP does. That's what the MVP does. Asia's coming through always. But the Marlins, we came really close the last game. Last Marlins game we bet on, Dan Day, we had a Stowers home run. We had the over on Yuri Perez strikeouts. The over-under was 5.5. He had 5. So, I don't know if it's responsible to keep going to the Stowers well, but he is red hot. I mean, when you're hot, you're hot. And he's the most reliable guy you can bet on. I mean, like, that's just what it comes down to with Kyle Stowers. So maybe, I don't know, do we go Kyle Stowers? Should I go Kyle Stowers hits? Should I go Kyle Stowers just bet a home run again? Because that's plus 350. That's always a juicy way to get a parlay going. Augustine Ramirez.
That was going to be mine. What about a parlay of Stowers and Augustine Ramirez hit?
Hits.
Yeah, each getting a hit. Is there a way that you could possibly parlay that?
I mean, is there a way? We can absolutely do that.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Why is Augustine Ramirez not? Oh, there he is. Okay, cool. I got it. Boom. All right, yes, you can do that, but it's only plus 145 of them both to get a hit. If we go Kyle Stowers hit, we could go Kyle Stowers hit and Augustin Ramirez home run. Maybe Ramirez getting his first ding dong of the break. Is he playing today? I should probably check that because it is day after night. But they could always DH him too. Let me just double check because he is. They do have odds on him, so I'm assuming that he's in the lineup. What do we got today, Fish? Yes, he's DHing today. He's DHing, hitting behind Stowers. All right, cool. All right, so we can bet on him. Home run for Ramirez. Stowers get a hit.
I think Stowers stays hot and gets a hit.
Okay, so we go with that. And then pitching. Do we feel confident in betting Sandy at all?
Well, for five of the six innings he will pitch, I am very confident in him. I'm just worried about one inning possibly being the hiccup.
What about him to get four or more strikeouts?
I was going to say, if you can, I'm picturing him getting about four strikeouts today.
If he gets four more, we get Sandy, four strikeouts, Kyle Stowers hit, and Augustin Ramirez ding-dong, plus 1,300.
I was going to say, that's a big parlay, though.
It is. It is a big parlay. It's a lot of stuff that you need to happen. I mean, if we just go, if I took the, what's the hardest thing here? Well, I can't take the Ramirez home run out. I mean, that's it's all kind of on the legs of Ramirez home run because he's plus 500 to go deep today.
It's all on his bat.
But I feel like he's due.
Oh, man.
I feel like he's due. I mean, we could go Otto Lopez home run. He's even juicier. But, you know, he's not your traditional power hitter.
He's been hitting well, though. I don't know if he's going to go yard, though, today.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to go yard either. I don't know if he's going to go yard either. I feel like see, that's the thing. The Marlins really only have, like, two guys who are, like, consistent power guys, and then Jesus Sanchez will surprise you with one every now and then.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to bet Ramirez. I'm going to go Ramirez home run. I'm going to go with your bet of Kyle Stowers getting a hit, and I'm going to go with Sandy four strikeouts. I think that's what I'm going with today, Dan.
Over four?
Four or more.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I'll do that, yeah. That four or more is good, yeah, because I think he's around four today.
Yeah, if he gets four or more, he's in.
Because he's going to pitch 5 to 6 innings.
He's going to eat innings. Like, that's the thing. See, that's the thing that I like about Sandy. He's going to go in there, and he's going to go in, and he's going to try and get the fish some innings. Like, he's not going to go out there and just be like, oh, you know. He's not going to get blasted. There may be an inning where he does get blasted, but even if he does, they'll still stick him out there for at least five because he wants to go and eat innings for the fish. So I think four's a safe bet. It's just a I think Stowers getting a hit, safe bet. Now we just need to juice up that. But then we're basically turning in the Ramirez odds that are plus 500 for a home run into plus 1,300. And he's DHing today. He's not catching. So it's all the focus is on the hitting for Ramirez.
And he did hit a midday home run against the Orioles earlier this year. So he does have a history of swinging the lumber early in the day.
You're speaking sweet nothings to me. You're speaking sweet nothings to me. I'm liking this more and more. Plus, also, I just want us to have action on the game that's going on over here. You know, what's the fun in that? You want me to go pick a game that's playing tonight? No way. If I got a chance to get some Marlins action going on the television at 12:10, to gamble on it would be irresponsible. It would be irresponsible. So that's what I'm going to go with. We'll get that game on in here rolling, but that's what I'm over. And I think this is a big game for the fish. Big game for the fish if they can get this one, especially if they can win this. You know, winning the Sandy starts have been a little bit, you know, can be dicey from time to time. GP wants to go, what about Sandy strikeouts over-under? What is his line set at? His line is 3.5, so if you're going to take the over, it's going to be at 4. You know? So it's basically the same. It's the same thing that we bet as the over-under. I don't know why alt strikeouts is even an option, to be honest with you, but it was. I actually glossed over that fact right off the bat. If you wanted to get real cute and you wanted to go 5 or more, well, I mean, if you wanted to get something crazy like that, that would be plus 1,700. But I think I'm going to stick. I am with Dan. I like the idea of just going, taking the plus 4. I think that's the prudent way to go for me. I think it's a nice 1,300. I'm happy with it. Let's go. Croquette the King, he says he's in. Let's all hop in this together and be Marlins degenerates, okay? Let's get to the mixed bag. Patrick Mahomes, he's good, but didn't have a very good Super Bowl. And this is what the Chiefs QB had to say when he reported to camp on if losing in the Super Bowl is a motivating factor for him.
I mean, obviously, we didn't play the way we wanted to play, and on a national stage, a worldwide stage, and you want to go out there and be better, and so that kind of helps you out on some of those extra workouts that you don't want to do, or some of the different stuff that in order to get better for that next season. It kind of keeps that in your mind. But now we're here. I mean, we're here. You have to start over. How can I get better for my teammates? How can I get better for the guy beside me? And going out there and attacking so that we can find a way to win that last game and not lose it.
There you go, the Chiefs. I mean, the way they went through that season last year, it just kind of felt like miracle after miracle. They were just pulling out these wins, Dan.
But notice, the last thing he said, we're going to try to win that last game instead of lose it. That type of attitude, that's a championship attitude. Yep. Rather than us being like, man, I hope we have not a losing record, and I hope we can win our first playoff game in 25 years. They have so much higher aspirations than us right now.
It is very pathetic. It's really like, yes, it is one of those things when you talk about... You know, and look, we see that with the Panthers. The Panthers are going to go through that because I heard, you know, Matthew Tkachuk said this at his cup day where he was like, he goes, well, if I would have come back from that injury and we would have lost, that wouldn't have been worth it, even if we would have lost in the finals. I was like, damn, that guy really just like it's the cup or it's nothing.
Now, even go further down the list, being a Saints fan born and raised in New Orleans, I'm hoping we get more than four wins. So, yep. You know.
Or maybe you don't because you want to get Arch.
That's true. I'm sure his family would love that. It went so well for his grandfather.
It would be Goosey's, though. It would be a cool story.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
It would be really cool. Marcus Smart stole a defensive player of the year from Bam Adebayo based on the Ringer media machine that decided that a Celtics defense that was good for 3 months deserved to have somebody win defensive player of the year instead of the best defensive player on the planet. Not that I'm still salty about it or anything. Well, he's not a Celtic anymore. He is a Los Angeles Laker. And Marcus Smart says that is because of their favorite little Slovenian, Luka Doncic.
A guy like Luka calling, referencing, checking on you, trying to see where you at to see, and that if you want to come, you know, join something special that he's trying to cook up over here, and for him to say that, you know, to see that he can really use my help, that meant a lot.
Here's the thing. If I can heat relate this for a second, I'm going to be honest with you. I know that I got a little giddy about Bam and Luka hanging out with each other in Greece. But I've heard nothing but since this summer has started about Luka recruiting. Kind of makes me nervous now. What the hell was Luka Doncic saying to Bam Adebayo in Greece? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If he's anything like Goran Dragic, I know those Slovenians are adorable, and they charm you.
They're charming.
They're charming.
They're a rough charm.
Yep. It's a rough charm. And now all of a sudden, he's got DeAndre Ayton, he's got Marcus Smart, and the word is none of them are hearing from LeBron.
Yeah, I haven't heard a word about LeBron.
Haven't heard a peep about LeBron, and maybe Luka's like telling Bam, he goes, why don't I get this old man out of here? We trade him for you, bring you to the Lakers, then you'll be appreciated for once in your life. And Bam's like, makes me nervous. Makes me nervous that I hear all these people out here recruiting LeBron or recruiting player after player. LeBron been salty as hell. And now all of a sudden, Luka's like, hey, Bam, Gogi says you don't feel so appreciated, Bobby. I know how these Slovenians work. You better stay. Hey, Goran, you better not let that happen. Or Bam, you better get your recruiting on.
This kind of sounds like Luka's drunk dialing Marcus Smart, people. Like, he's at home drinking some Miller Lite, like, let me call and check on him.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep.
Still want to come to Los Angeles, you know?
SDI says, would be a great way to get out of Bam's contract. I don't like that, SDI. Please stop that.
Ooh, talking about loser
like
talk.
I don't like that. Hunter says, I don't like this. I don't like it either. But I don't like what I've been hearing with all this Luka recruiting left and right. And we know LeBron's kind of making a stink. And we always thought it was like, oh, Wiggins and such for it. I hope it's that. Because I would really I don't know. I don't know if my mind could handle that. But these Lakers fans, I mean, like, the delusion left and right that they get to have because, you know, everybody lands in their lap. It's ridiculous. Oh, man. All right, flipping back to the Dolphins a little bit. Alec Ingold, he is Dolphins fullback. He was not invited to the Lusaka Polite golf tournament with Leroy Horde. But he said that the Dolphins have a foxhole mentality going into this season. Here was Alec Ingold.
Brings its own challenges, and I don't know if you can ever really be prepared for whatever it's thrown at you until you're looking at it in the face. And last year, honestly, I don't think it was time for fun. Like, it was time to buckle down the hatches, dig a foxhole, and work. Like, that was what was necessary to go from 2-6 to 6-2. We didn't have the hot start and the excitement around us. I think we responded in a way that was necessary. So this year, obviously, we have a few years of continuity with some guys. You can see who enjoys having fun, and we can uplift those guys that way. You got other people that work really well in foxholes, and I feel like this year, whatever it's going to bring, we have to be very mindful of what happened in the past, but we can't let that hang over our heads for forever. This has to be a new team, a new year, a new season, new group of guys who want to go out and chase it, whatever is asked of us.
Look, that Alec Ingold, he seems like an A-plus dude. I really don't want to hear about how the season ended 6-2. Like, it is... to me, this whole idea about, oh, you started this way. How about the Dolphins under Mike McDaniel stop being so damn streaky all the time? Like, it's always like this team is either all the way up or they crater down. I would just like a through line of consistency. And I'm not saying win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. That would also make me annoyed. But, like, the ebbs and flows of the Mike McDaniel era, which also have entangled with, of course, Tua Tagovailoa injuries, have been very, very frustrating. So, yes, great. You guys went out there and you finished 6-2. You didn't go out there and you didn't win the games that would have really put you solidified into a playoff position, even with the rough start. You know, you had the Houston loss. You finished off with a loss to the Jets. You know, and Thanksgiving was really the one where everybody's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing to get. You know, you showed up. Even your own teammates called you soft. So, well, yes. Let's give it a little nice little up for the Dolphins finishing 6-2, even though they really finished 6-3. Great for them. However, those two losses, you really would have done something if you could have at least won one of them. So, that's that. Bradley Chubb, he's back at it with your Miami Dolphins. And he was asked about how hungry is he to get back out there after missing the season. Here's what Chubba-Dub-Dub had to say.
How hungry are you to get back out there after missing the
starving. Season? Starving, man. It's been a long time coming. You know, OTAs was kind of just dipping the foot in, getting around the guys again, feeling that team, that camaraderie. But now training camp is going, the seasons, you see it on the horizon. It's just about taking each and every day. And that's what I miss the most about this, honestly. Like, the training camps is never fun. It sucks. You know, you're doing it each and every day, but you're doing it together. And that's what I missed about it. That's what it's all about. So I'm just excited to get back to that.
I'm excited for him to get back too. It sucks that you know, he had to deal with such a bad injury. Remember, he comes off the PUP last year, but the Dolphins, are they really in it? Is it smart to risk bringing him back? And they decided not to. So he's had a lot of time now to recover from this ACL. You hope that you have I will say physically, he does look like he's in really good shape. Just eye test wise, he looks really slim at the podium. Looks like he's leaned out. So maybe a little bit lighter on that injured knee and explosiveness. That, to me, is like one of the X factors for the Dolphins, Dan. You got Chop Robinson coming into a year two after he really rounded into form. Bradley Chubb and hopefully a Jalen Phillips who's going to be good to go. Man, if things click that way, that's a strength the Dolphins can lean into.
Absolutely. Coming off the edges and then inside, if you get everything shored up with Zach Sealer and Kenneth Grant, a first-round draft pick, you got a pretty good defensive line right there.
It's got some impressive elements to it. There's no doubt about that. And then we also heard from Darren Waller, new Miami Dolphins tight end, and he explained that Frank Smith, Dolphins offensive coordinator, who he knows from his time with the Raiders, was a big factor in why he ended up back with the Miami Dolphins.
Frank is my guy, man.
So when I got claimed off the Ravens practice squad in 2018, I got to the Raiders, and he was my tight end coach. You know, met me at the door, and one of the first things he was interested in was, what do I need as a man, like, in, you know, my newfound sobriety, like, whatever I need to just be solid as a human being. And that struck me a lot. And then just his knowledge of the game, the culture that he created, not only in our room, but just with how he interacted with players, I thought was rare in coaches I had seen to that point. And, you know, some of the best years of my career were with him in the room, and just some of my best football memories overall. So to be able to reconnect with him is amazing.
Well, that's great. And hopefully Frank Smith sees something there that will make him a productive player after having the time off that he has. Certainly seems like Waller, you know, wants that level of comfort coming on in, some familiarity. And look, if the Dolphins can somehow strike any kind, I don't even want to say strike gold, because that seems like a ridiculous standard to put it at. But if they can get some level of production there, especially, you know, just a red zone target, somebody Tua can lean on there with all the size that he brings to the table, it won't sting as much losing the loss of Jonnu Smith. It's a little bit like, it's kind of reminiscent, kind of the Calais Campbell move, but Calais Campbell never left football. He was just old. But even with losing Christian Wilkins, they're like, hey, man, what are they going to do? Not having Christian Wilkins here? And they basically got Calais Campbell delivered to them late into the process of the offseason on the cheapskies, and he was awesome. He was awesome in every which way for the Miami Dolphins. He probably exceeded expectations. There were times where you're wondering, is he going to stick around with this team? Is he going to be with them the rest of the way? He did stick with them the rest of the way, but and really took over as a big part of that locker room. But you knew that, hey, it sucked losing Christian Wilkins, but getting Calais Campbell there was a big nod to the Miami Dolphins. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that Darren Waller can turn out to be something that will really benefit the Dolphins in the long run. So that is your mixed bag, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we got there for you. And as camp has concluded, the big news out of camp today, there was a couple of serious injuries, it appears. The most serious, Dolphins offensive lineman Byron Matos was injured late in the team's camp. According to the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson, he was taken by helicopter to a local hospital. He's in stable condition, but the team would not say anything else about the nature of his injury. He writes that the team ended practice while medical officials were administering to Matos, who was on the field surrounded by his teammates for more than 10 minutes before being airlifted to the hospital. The team said the injury was not why practice ended after 90 minutes. First training camp practices tend to be shorter. But he is in his second year, didn't play a snap last season, 6'7", 334 pounds, and he is one of those guys. He was born in the Dominican Republic. He's a moose and one of those kind of project guys the Dolphins brought in last year, but unfortunately got what appears to be a pretty serious injury, and we're wishing him the best. The other piece of news is that Artie Burns, who is in his first season, he got injured. He got tangled up with a player during backpedal drills early in practice, and according to Barry, slammed his helmet in frustration, but he left the facility on crutches with an injury what appeared to be his right leg. So those are the injuries the Dolphins are dealing with today after day one. We'll come back as hour two is a wrap. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from the man, Tua Tagovailoa, especially on his thoughts on Tyreek Hill, who saying, you know, he's putting all of his focus into football. But Tua Tagovailoa had some thoughts on how Tyreek Hill ended last year, said that he wanted to be out and move on to another team.